Take your Bibles, if you would, go with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. We have been traveling through the Gospel of Luke together for many months, looking at the life of Christ. The last few weeks, the death of our Savior on Mount Calvary for our sins. We're in Luke chapter 23 and the 44th verse. Luke 23, verse 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Surely this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. According to the scriptures, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on the cross from about 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, approximately 6 hours. The first 3 hours of this horrible time were noisy. There were the religious leaders who were mocking Christ. There were the soldiers who were mocking Christ. There was a thief who was mocking Christ. There were several words from Christ. There was the salvation of one of the thieves, Jesus saving him from his sins while even on the cross. And then all changed. The last 3 hours that Christ spent upon the cross are totally different from the first. The last 3 hours have to do with something that is happening between God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. Now the things we're looking at this morning are, they're not a child's wading pool. We're going to wade out. We're going to swim out into the deep water this morning. Stay with me. I wish to make these things clear. Number one today, found in verses 44 to 45, where it says, the sun was darkened. Number one, lights out. I call it lights out. I remember the day I buried my daughter, Stacy, as we drove from the church in the funeral procession to the gravesite. Most people paid no attention. There were people getting gas at the gas station, kids at school, people walking to or from their homes. The world paid little attention to our grief. Perhaps you've noticed the same thing on a day that you lost your loved one. But on the day that Christ died, God said, pay attention. On the day that Christ died, God turned out the lights at noon. Now, on that day, there were no flashlights, no electricity. And at noon, no one would be walking around with their candle or oil lamp. Everything was upset. For 3 hours, business would have to stop. The world would have to come almost to a complete stop as Christ died for our sins. And a million people must have asked, what's going on here? Why has this sun disappeared at noon? And on the day that Christ died, for 3 hours, one afternoon, God said, pay attention. It was during those 3 hours upon the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ in his own body bore our sins, carried our sins. And the darkness he was experiencing in his life that afternoon, nature responded to that, and there was a blackout. Isaiah 53 tells us the Lord, Jehovah, has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. In the Bible, The day of God's wrath upon this planet, in the coming tribulation period especially, is called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, God's wrath. But what happened on Calvary that day when Jesus died was the day of the Lord for Jesus, in which he bore the wrath of God that should have been ours. Listen to these scriptures. Amos 5, verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Amos 8, 9. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth on a clear day. Zephaniah 1, 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And 3 hours one afternoon, Jesus experienced the wrath of God for our sins, a day of darkness and gloominess and clouds. During those 3 hours, Jesus experienced what I'm not going to be able to explain very well. But he said it best, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" To be forsaken of God is hell. It is to be outer darkness. It's the final judgment. Infinite wrath endured by an infinite person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is bearing on that cross for 3 hours one afternoon our judgment, our hell, so that we would not have to be condemned, so that we would not have to perish. And as Christ suffers, as he groans, nature groans, and the lights go out, and the sun refuses to shine, and God is speaking to us, and God is saying, pay attention. And some people did. The centurion did as he stood underneath the cross. He said, surely this man was a righteous man. In verse 48, some people in the area responded. His friends did in verse 49. Years later, Isaac Watts would write about it in the song At the Cross. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Yeah. Whatever your darkness, whatever your gloominess, whatever your day of clouds, the resurrected Jesus understands. The one whom we pray through when we pray to the Father and we pray in Jesus' name knows, understands, and wishes to give us grace. 3 hours, one afternoon, on a place called Calvary, some very deep things are happening between God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And God says, pay attention, lights out. And Jesus bears our sins there during those hours. Notice a second thing this morning. Not only the lights go out, but a curtain is torn in two. A curtain is torn in two, verse 45. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now Luke takes the events of several hours and reduces it down to one sentence. From the other Gospels, we know that at the end of those three awful hours, those 3 hours of darkness in which he bore our sins, at the end of that, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And his head fell over and he died. And at that very moment, down at the temple on the other side of town, a huge veil, a huge curtain, was ripped in half from the top to the bottom. So here, Christ is bearing our sins in darkness, lights out. The lights come back on as Jesus says, "It is finished. Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." The lights are on now. And down at the temple, as the lights come on, this huge veil is tore in half. Inside the temple, you and I would never be allowed inside the holy place. Inside there where the lampstand was and the table of showbread and the altar of incense, just for priests. And then once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would move apart the veil just a little bit and he'd squeeze inside into the most holy place, where the glory of God, the very presence of God resided. One year, one man, once a year, went into that room. And there, on the mercy seat, in between two cherubim, angel wings, golden angels, the very presence of God resided. Josephus tells us that in the temple, that veil, listen to this, and Josephus was a historian of that day, was as thick as a man's hand, 60 feet long, 30 feet high. It was huge. And as the lights came back on, as Jesus died, just then that curtain that separated man from God's presence was ripped in half. Not from the bottom up, as if torn by man, but from the top down, as if torn by God the Father. And not a little piece was ripped, but the whole thing was ripped in twain, in two, the Bible says, in the middle, from the top to the bottom, destroyed. What was God saying when he tore the veil in half? God was saying that through the death of his son Jesus on Mount Calvary, which had just happened, through the blood of the cross, those who believe in Jesus now have direct access into the holiest by Jesus. As his son's body had been rent, tore for our sins, now God tears open the veil and says, come in. Come in. Hold your place here and look in Luke chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. No longer is it limited to just one man once a year to go into the presence of God, but now every Christian, through Jesus' name, through the shed blood of Jesus, has direct access into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. And when we pray and we go through Jesus, we walk into that throne room in prayer. And we go into the holiest of all boldly, the Bible says. We have access. We go in the name of Jesus to approach our Heavenly Father. I hope you're using your access. I hope you're a person of prayer. Something else that rent veil meant. It meant that all those Old Testament rituals and sacrifices and priests are over. That system is not tore a bit. It is tore in two. Because the Lamb of God has shed his blood for us, we bring no lambs to church this morning. We slit no little lamb's throat today in this place. Because our great high priest has given his blood for us, we come through no other priest. We go directly to God to confess our sins, to pray. We go through Jesus only. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus in John 14, 6. Our sin had separated us from God. It was like that curtain, like that huge curtain, that huge barrier. But on that afternoon, when Jesus died for our sins, the veil of separation was rent in half. And we draw near now to God. And He draws near to us. This is true in salvation, by the way. We come through Jesus to go to the Father. And only Jesus. It's true in prayer. Only Jesus. Access to the Father. 3 hours, one afternoon, on an old rugged cross, some wonderful things, some indescribable things are happening between God the Father and His Son Jesus. As Jesus bears our sins on Calvary's cross and the wrath and darkness that should have been ours, God says, lights out. Pay attention. My son is dying. And down at the temple at the end of those 3 hours, when Jesus said, it is finished. Father, thy hands, I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and died. At the temple, the veil was rent in half. And God says to all who believe in his son, come on in to the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. Verse 46, a third thing. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, here in Luke 23, verse 46, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Final words of Jesus at his death. The Lord Jesus had lived his entire life to glorify God the Father. He said, what I speak, my Father taught me to say these things. I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. He was constantly in obedience to his Heavenly Father. He obeyed the Heavenly Father, the Bible says, unto death, even the death of the cross. This very first word as he hangs on the cross, very first word out of his mouth was, Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now we find his last words here in verse 46. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is a prayer of total trust. No fear. Just peace as he gives his very soul to the Heavenly Father. You can sometimes tell a lot about a person by what they say just before they die, if that person has any final words. Here are some of the final words of some people. The French infidel Voltaire cursed his friends as he died and said, I must die, abandoned of God and men. Charles IX, King of France, was a persecutor of Christians. Last words. I know what I am, what I shall do. I am lost. I see it well. Oliver Cromwell, last words. The devil is ready to seduce us, and I have been seduced. Philip III, King of France, what an account I shall have to give to God. How I should have liked to have lived otherwise than I have lived. Kit Carson, the noted American scout, had a Christian who often talked to him about Christ, a preacher. His response to the preacher was, "I have got along so long, I think I will wait a while longer." He died July 3rd, 1883. The last words of his mouth, "I am going to hell." This past week when Richard went to heaven, we knew where he went because he trusted Christ. He was with the Lord today in the presence of God. Some years ago, a young girl was fatally injured in an automobile accident. She lived long enough to talk to her mother, who was at the scene. "Mother, you taught me everything I need to know to get by in college. You taught me how to light a cigarette, how to hold my cocktail glass. But Mother, you never taught me how to die. And you'd better teach me quickly, Mother, because," in her last words, "I'm dying." One of my favorite missionary stories is the story of Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary to Burma, sacrificed so much for the cause of Christ. Died in 1850, his last words, "I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." Frances Havergal wrote some of the hymns in your hymnal. She died in 1879. She said as she died, "There, now it's all over. Blessed rest." David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians. Died in 1747. "I'm almost in eternity. I long to be there. My work is done. All the world is nothing to me," he said. "Oh, to be in heaven, to praise and glorify God with his holy angels." You can tell a lot by what a person says just before they die, if they have the opportunity. And the Son of God, as he dies upon the cross, says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Would you go with me to Psalm 31, the 31st Psalm. The 31st Psalm. We'll read the first five verses of the 31st Psalm. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of deliverance, defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." As Jesus dies, the last words of his mouth are Scripture, Bible. 1,000 years earlier, when this psalm was written, it had become, over those years, a child's prayer. Many a Jewish mom and dad taught their child before they laid down at night to pray, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." It's something like the prayer that some of you may have been taught. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And as the Lord Jesus dies, as a child prays a bedtime prayer just before he falls asleep, Jesus talks to his heavenly Father and says, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." No fear, just peace as he dies. But there are a couple differences between the Old Testament Jewish prayer and the way Jesus said it. The Old Testament Jewish prayer did not include the word Father. Very few, if any, Jewish people would ever pray to God, Father. It was Jesus who taught us to pray our Father as Christians. And so as he prays this bedtime prayer before he falls asleep in the arms of his heavenly Father, he says, Father. The last part of the verse he doesn't pray either upon the cross, because the words are, Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Well, Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the one who's shedding his blood to purchase us. And 3 days later, God the Father, in response to the sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ, would raise his Son back up to life and give him a glorified body and exalt him and give him a name that's above every name. Now, the truth is, nobody here is ready to live or die until you have received God's Son as your personal Savior and Lord. Trusting the one who 3 hours one afternoon bore your sins and mine on a rugged cross. Would you grab your hymnal? And let's stand and sing the song, Jesus Paid It All.